Please welcome Pastor Rene as he comes to share God's word.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you. Good morning once again. I'm really honored to be here and being able to share with you this morning. And it's really special. And thank you, Pastor Aaron. Pastor Aaron is a really good pastor, and he's a really good boss. And part of the transition being easy was because he's been so awesome. He's really cared for us. He's made sure we're all right. Moving from Pennsylvania is a little bit of ways, so he knows that. He's been in our shoes before, and he's been really helpful. So thank you for all you do for us. The title of my sermon today is Paraclete. All right, probably why that title? It's so weird. Is it even English? It's not English. It is a Greek word, and you guys will get the definition in a bit. But I want to start out, when you hear Holy Spirit, what do you think about? What are some thoughts that come to mind, some actions, some different things that come to mind? If you ask different believers in different churches and different circles who or what the Holy Spirit is, I think you're going to get a lot of mixed responses. And I think there's two different sides of the spectrums, two different extremes. Some might say he's not real or he's not essential or he's just a fake that some crazies make up and these crazy people go around and acting weird and speaking gibberish. But the other side is people who might abuse the spiritual power and neglect other areas of the faith. And when I was thinking and praying about what to share about, Pastor Aaron came up to me and was like, hey, we're finishing the series. It's going to be your turn to speak. And I started praying and thinking, what do I want to preach about? So I was praying and the Holy Spirit put on my mind, talk about me. I'm like, I don't know. Are you sure about that? Because especially some of my friends and some people I've met through Christian school and just other areas, the Holy Spirit can be really controversial. People have conflicting feelings. People, again, there's two different extremes I've found. So I was like, are you sure you want me to talk about the Holy Spirit? And he was like, yes, I really do. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And I'm actually really glad I listened. And also, we finished the fast about a week ago. So I was also thinking, how do we sustain what we've done in the fast? How do we stay close to God? How do we keep listening to his voice? How do we keep this fast, not just in the first 21 days of the year, but how do we extend it to the rest of the year? And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit is so essential to our lives. We need him to operate. We know the world is a messed up and broken place, and Jesus knew that. So that's why we have the Holy Spirit. We're going to start by looking at John chapter 14, verses 15 to 26. But before we jump in, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you that I have this opportunity to speak. And I just pray that the words that you've placed on my heart and the scriptures, that that's what's shared, that I never deviate into my own words, and that you just open all our hearts and ears to what you have to speak to us. And just thank you for this opportunity, and thank you that we can gather here together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's read John chapter 14, verses 15 through 26. Jesus says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. When I am raised to life again, you know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, 'Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not the world at large?' Jesus replied, 'All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you.'" So Jesus here speaking to his disciples. This is just right about before he's going to get crucified and raised again. But he's speaking to his disciples, and in verse 16, later in 26, he mentions that the Father's going to send them an advocate, an helper. And this advocate is the Holy Spirit. The Greek word here, paraclete, gives us a much deeper meaning, and that's where our title comes from. It means counselor, one called or sent to assist another, an advocate, intercessor, one who encourages and comforts, also pleads another's cause. Paraclete. Greek words have so much of a deeper meaning than sometimes the English words do. And as I was studying and reading, I was like, advocate, helper, sometimes it seems so small, like the definition in the English. So I looked it up in the Greek, and I love this definition. Because Jesus knows we need a counselor. He knows we need someone to assist us. He knows we need an intercessor and encouragement. That's why Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit and sent him. He was sent by Jesus to live and dwell in us. He helps us. He guides us. He reminds us of things we've learned and been taught by Jesus. He encourages and he comforts us. It's also interesting here because Jesus says the world can't receive the Spirit. That's because they aren't looking for him. And they're not looking for him because they don't recognize him. But the disciples, they know the Spirit because they already have him. They have the Holy Spirit because they have Jesus. If we want the Holy Spirit, if we want that helper, that intercessor, that advocate, we first need to have Jesus. Judas then asks why he won't reveal himself to the whole world. And then Jesus answers, it's because you guys love me, and the world doesn't. Again, the world doesn't recognize the Holy Spirit or Jesus. They don't love him because they don't know him or know that they need him. He says that those who love him will do what he says, and he will make their home within those who love him. But those who don't love Jesus, they aren't going to have the Spirit because they don't know him, recognize him, or love Jesus. And so far, just from this passage, Jesus tells the disciples that they're going to have the promised advocate, the Holy Spirit. And we learn a little bit more about the Holy Spirit's role, but we're going to continue here in John. We're going to skip over chapter 15 and come back to it. But we're going to look at John 16, verses 5 through 15. But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of the world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So here Jesus says it's to our benefit, it's for our best that Jesus goes into heaven and sends the Holy Spirit. And every time I read this, it's just insane to think about. That Jesus himself, God who came down from heaven to earth, the perfect man who set the standard. Again, God himself said it's better for him to leave and to send the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit must be really good if Jesus is saying he needs to leave so the Holy Spirit can come. And in these verses, Jesus continues and says that the Holy Spirit is going to do three things. Convict the world of its sin, of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. And I have another Greek word for you guys. You guys are learning a new language today. The Greek word here for convict is elenko, which means to expose, to rebuke, to refute, show fault, and to convince. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to convict. He's going to expose our sin. He's going to rebuke it and to show us our faults. But he's also going to convince us of God's righteousness and point us back and of the coming judgment of the world. Now I want to break these down further. Convict the world concerning sin. This is because they didn't believe in Christ. The world's biggest sin, and ours before we came to know Christ, was that we didn't believe in him. We didn't know him. We know no one is perfect. We can look out in the world and turn the news on and see within the first 3 seconds that the world is broken and people are messed up. But we've fallen short of God's perfect standards. But the biggest thing Jesus covers here is that concerning sin is we in the world didn't believe in him. Once we believe in him, we're cleansed and redeemed of all our sins because we accept what Jesus did for us and believe it to be true. He convicts the world and us concerning our sin. He convicts the world concerning God's righteousness. Again, there's a standard, but we fell so short of it. There's one person who didn't, though, and that's Jesus. He came down from heaven, lived a perfect life on earth. He died and rose again for our sins. He is the only one who lived a perfect life and set the example. He set the standard. He set the perfect example. And he goes back to the Father to intercede for us and on our behalf. And he convicts the world of God's righteousness because he's going back to the Father. And he says, righteousness is now available for all of you. And convict the world concerning judgment. The world is going to be and is being judged. God is taking account of all who believed in Jesus and lived a life worthy of that standard. The Holy Spirit convicts us of this truth. And Jesus identifies Satan as the one with whom judgment began with. And he says, because the ruler of the world is judged. So the Holy Spirit is in the business of convicting, but not to guilt us or put shame over us. He points us back to God and makes us aware of the things keeping us separated from the Father. Again, the Greek word elenko means to expose, to rebuke, refute, show fault, and to convince. Jesus is very intentional with his words. There's no mention of guilt or shame. Will there be rebuking and exposing, showing fault of our sins? Absolutely. God doesn't want us living in our sin and in our brokenness. But he's there to point us back to God's righteousness and set us straight. And Jesus also says in this passage that the Spirit is going to guide us into truth. The Holy Spirit's our guide in this life. That's why Jesus went back to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit so we could have that guide with us in our life. He will guide us to what is right and true, not like the world who guides us to wrongdoing and to death. Now that we know a little bit more about who the Holy Spirit is and some of his role in our lives, I want us to look at more what he does in us and through us. So to do that, I brought a couple things. I know it's pretty small, so I don't know if you guys can see, but it's a little clementine, a little halo. It's fruit. And this is a little gift. We're going to put those here for now. Probably wondering why I brought these objects. It's a little weird. But there are two things I want to talk about. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We need to differentiate between the fruit and the gifts. They're not the same. And sometimes as a universal church, we bundle them together and don't differentiate them. Are the gifts of the Spirit important? Yes, absolutely. Of course they are. The gifts are to build the church and for us to encourage one another, and that is super important in building each other up. But I think it's more important for us to make sure that the fruit of the Spirit is evident, more evident than the gifts, because the fruit proves that the Holy Spirit is living within us. Let's jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. This is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them. Is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Here we read that there's one Spirit, but He gives all of us different gifts. So the gift I've been given isn't going to be the same as Larry's gift, or Pastor Aaron's gift, or Karen's gift. We all have different gifts and different roles, but it's still the same one God that works through each of those. And that's how it's meant to be. The rest of the chapter, Paul goes on and explains that the church is like a body. There are many different parts that do different things, but we all come together as a church to form a body. And we all have different body parts that do different roles, they have different roles and different things that are needed of them. Paul draws a couple comparisons, and the first being the foot. The foot doesn't say, you know what, I'm not a hand, I don't want to be part of the body anymore. No, the foot has its own role, its own needs, and the hands have their own roles and their own needs. If our feet were our hands, our bodies would be a little weird, and they wouldn't be as efficient as God created them to be. Paul also goes on to say, if the whole body were an eye, how could we hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would we smell anything? He draws this relation because the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, each for their own purpose, to build up the church. We all each play a different part in the body of Christ. If we all had gifts of performing miracles, there might be someone who needs wise advice or special knowledge, but they're not going to get it because everyone has the same gift. That's why it's one Spirit, but different gifts and different roles. The Holy Spirit wants to work through each and every one of us because we are His body. Some of the gifts listed here are serving, wise advice, message of special knowledge, great faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in unknown languages, and interpretation for those messages. There are a couple other passages that lift a couple more gifts and explain them, but I think Paul gives us a good basis in 1 Corinthians. The point of the Holy Spirit giving these gifts out is, again, so we can build one another up and encourage each other. It's not made so we can boast in ourselves or use them to uplift ourselves or come across very holy and special. No, my gifts are to help you guys, and your gifts are to help each other. The purpose is, we need the Holy Spirit because in and of ourselves, we can do no good. I know there's probably times you can recall where someone tried to help you, but they messed up, or you tried to help someone, but you messed up. That's why the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts, because we're supposed to help one another, but we can't do it on our own. We all need encouragement. We all need built up. The church needs built up and encouraged. That's why the Holy Spirit gives out these gifts. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." So here Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit now. He lists two different natures here, the sinful and flesh-led nature and the Spirit-filled nature. And he tells us that those two natures are always constantly fighting for us. In verses 19 to 21, we see what the acts and the fruit of the sinful, flesh-led nature are. And as I was reading them, there are a lot of different sinful acts and fruit of the flesh. If these things are what's showing up the most in our lives, we're in trouble, because if we continue in that way, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God and eternal life. Now, I don't bring these verses up to scare anyone, but to bring it up and echo what Paul is warning. We can't live like these. We can't be letting these fruit grow in our lives, because it leads to death and destruction. But the fruit of the Spirit leads to life. In verses 22 and 23, we see what they are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these are the opposite of the sinful nature's fruit. And I didn't come here to make anyone doubt or question their salvation, but I want us to reflect, which fruit is showing up in our lives? Are we living in the Spirit and following in step with the Spirit and letting Him guide our lives? And are these different good fruits growing and showing? And back to my objects here that you've probably been staring at for a little bit. Christmas was a little over a month ago, and I found it interesting, and I thought I seemed a little older than I am because of how my requests have changed for Christmas gifts. When we're younger, we ask for a lot of different things. The newest games, the newest toys, the newest action figures, what all our friends have, all the new trendy stuff. Now I'm happy if I get sweaters, socks, and my favorite snacks. But in here is one thing I asked for, and I got it from my older sister. It's a coffee bean grinder. You're probably wondering, why did he bring this in? I know, it's so riveting and special. And no, I'm not giving it away, so please don't ask. But I found myself asking for this, not necessarily because I had a burning desire and I really wanted it. Now, I did want it because I asked for it, but more so because we got an espresso machine a couple months ago, and me and Sarah love coffee. She makes a pretty good coffee, but I like beating her to it, so that way I get to serve her, and she has a little extra more time in the mornings to get ready. Thank you. Guys, husbands, I did not come up here to do that. Wives, please don't. I found myself wanting these because we had beans, and I wanted to make fresher coffee for her and I to enjoy. This gift truly wasn't a selfish ask, but one of more where I wanted to use it for someone else, being Sarah in this case. This comes from a heart of love for her. And because I realized that even with how imperfect I am, with how broken I am, with how much I mess up, don't ask her because she will tell you every time, but no matter how bad I might seem, the Holy Spirit's been working in my life. And I don't say that to boast and say, oh, I'm so holy and perfect. I'm not. But I've noticed that the Holy Spirit has been growing these fruit to love her better, to be good, to be kind. And I'm using this gift to serve her and build her up. That's because it's my responsibility with the gift, not to use it selfishly and just on myself. I could just wake up early, grind the beans for myself, make myself coffee, and say, Sarah, fend for yourself, make your own coffee. But that's not the goal in our lives. Because I have the fruit growing in my life, and the gifts are the expression of what's inside, we can't use the gifts well if we don't have the fruit showing in our lives. If we want to make sure that the fruit of the Spirit is being shown and being produced in our lives, we need to be connected with Christ. We're going to go back to John and look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17 says, this is Jesus again speaking to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If we're not connected to Christ, we can't do anything. We can't bear fruit. We can't move in the gifts we've been given. We can't do anything. Here in this passage, there's a big theme and word repeated. It's abide. Now I have a third Greek word for you guys. The word here is meno, and it means to stay, to remain, live, dwell, to be in a state that begins and continues, yet may or may not end or stop. To abide in Jesus is to remain in him, to stay with him, to live with him, to be continually indulged in him. We need to abide in Jesus because not only is it essential to bear fruit, but it's essential for living our lives. If we want the Holy Spirit, we need to know and love Jesus and to be abiding with Jesus every single second. Here in this passage, we see that the branches that don't bear fruit, the master takes away. But the branches that do bear fruit, they're pruned so they can produce even more fruit. And again, I want us to reflect. Which branch are we? Are we the one that's dying a little bit and not bearing fruit? Or have we been bearing fruit and we just need pruned and to stay connected to the vine to keep growing? And as I bring my thoughts to a close, I want to look at two different passages in Acts. Acts, the first one being in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is talking here, and before he ascends into heaven, he's again telling the disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come to them to wait for this promise. Verse 8 says we receive power when the Holy Spirit falls upon us. That should lead us into action. We are called to be witnesses of Jesus with this power. The power isn't for us to go and do cool things and boast about ourselves and seem, again, super spiritual and powerful. No, this power that we're given is to tell others about Jesus, to tell them the gospel. The Holy Spirit filling our lives is for power to witness, not power to show off to people. The Holy Spirit is essential for spreading the gospel. Earlier in John, we read that the Spirit will remind us of things. We're human. We're broken. We're faulty. We forget things. We can do no good on our own. That's why the Holy Spirit fills us with power and helps us and guides us so that we can effectively communicate the gospel. In Acts 2, we see the promise of the Holy Spirit fulfilled. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speak in their own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen, listen carefully. All of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is way too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike. And they will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon will turn to blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here we see that the promised Holy Spirit finally arrives, and he fills the disciples that were gathered together. They were filled, and they start speaking in other tongues. And at the same time that this is all happening, there are Jews from many other nations that are gathering in Jerusalem for a festival. They come closer, and these Jews from the other nations they're perplexed, they're astounded, they're confused. They're hearing their own native language being spoken, and they're hearing all the wonderful things God has done. Imagine you're just walking around like normal, walking through the city or walking through a grocery store, and you speak a different language, but all of a sudden you hear someone across the store speaking that same language. You're going to be drawn to them. You're going to be like, "Wait, I know what they're saying because I speak that language." And you're going to be drawn to them. And that's what was happening here. Then Peter gets up and preaches to this crowd. Some people were assuming that they were drunk and going crazy, but Peter says, "No, they're not drunk. This was prophesied long ago by prophet Joel." Not only did Jesus promise his disciples about the Holy Spirit, but God promised his people the Holy Spirit long ago. His Spirit being poured out on all people. No matter if you're Jew or Gentile, no matter what, his Spirit is going to be poured out on all people. Peter goes on and preaches about Jesus and who Jesus is and how the scriptures point to the Messiah and that Jesus is that Messiah and Savior. The Holy Spirit makes this possible because he gave the disciples the gift of speaking in tongues to draw all the Jews in from their native languages. And then the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance for Peter all the things he learned from Jesus, all the things he was raised in, all the scriptures he memorized and learned. The Holy Spirit makes this possible. And because the disciples loved him and abided in Jesus, 3,000 people were saved that day. 3,000 people came to know Jesus. The Holy Spirit moved in such a powerful way that so many people were saved. This is why Jesus said it was best for us for him to leave and the Holy Spirit to come. The disciples were literally abiding and living with Jesus in the flesh. Did they They loved him and they obeyed him. And they did they do it perfectly? No. We don't do it perfectly either. But the Holy Spirit worked through them because they loved Jesus, they knew him, and they abided in him. My closing thought is this. The Holy Spirit is an essential part of our lives. And everything the Spirit does is to glorify the Father and Jesus. The Holy Spirit's role in our lives is to counsel us, to assist us, to be our helper, to be our advocate, to convict us concerning our sin, God's righteousness, and the coming judgment, and to teach us and to bring remembrance the things we've learned, and to help us bear fruit and to help us build up the church, and so that we can be witnesses for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within you if you believe in Jesus. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, if you believe in him, you have the Holy Spirit always. God is always with you. And if you don't believe, but you feel a nudge to ask questions or to look more, I think that's the Holy Spirit talking to you and drawing you to himself. And if you have questions, please don't ever hesitate to talk to Pastor Aaron or Pastor Sarah or myself or a trusted friend who's a believer. God loves everyone, no matter how broken you are, no matter how far gone you think you are or how messed up you are, you're not. Jesus loves you, and he knows that you need help in this world. I need a lot of help in this world. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to live with us. He is our helper. So no matter what you might be going through, God is with you. But it's up to us. Are we going to abide in Jesus? Are we going to love him and obey him and let the Spirit guide our lives? That's something we all need to reflect on and make sure we're doing on a daily basis. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can be gathered together and worship you and praise you and connect and talk about our weeks. Lord, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit down to us to be our helper, to be our advocate, to fill us with power so that we can witness to our friends and family and coworkers. Lord, I pray that you fill our lives and that you speak to our hearts and that you open our ears. We go, and that we abide in Jesus every day, and that we listen to you, and that we're guided by you into all truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Renee. Great job. You know, it's an interesting thing because, you know, we've been watching the Chosen in our community groups. And I don't know, you know, if you like that show or whatever, but, you know, one of the things that, whether I try to have it happen or not, it always seems to happen, is the gentleman that plays Jesus, man, he does a great job. And you know, there are times as I'm watching that where I kind of put myself in the role of one of those disciples. And I'm just like, I don't know if that's how Jesus acted necessarily. I think he does a fairly good job, but it's like, I'm like, I just want to go be around that guy. You know, it's like, I want to be around him. And I know, like, I sit there and I'll think to myself, like that's not Jesus. And it's actually, for me, it's kind of helped me to be so excited about the day when either Jesus comes and gets me or comes and gets us all. And just to be around Jesus, you know, yes, I'm excited to see those that have gone on and will go on before us, but there's just a longing to be around Jesus. And I can guarantee you the disciples felt that. And I always go back to that, and Pastor Renee brought it up here, where Jesus in John, I mean, he's getting ready to go. And he looks at these guys, and you got to believe that these guys are having those emotions where it's like, man, Jesus, you're amazing. I just want to be around you. And Jesus says, I'm going to leave, and it's better that I leave because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes because of the confusion, to be flat honest with you, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we miss that the Holy Spirit has come, and Jesus literally said it was better. And so this morning, as Pastor Renee was just sharing, you know, and he was talking about the idea of a helper and an advocate and all these sort of things, it's so easy for us and for me to get to that place where I think I can handle this and I can do it on my own. We don't have to. We have an advocate. We have a helper. We have somebody that Jesus literally said, it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come. And I want to encourage you and even me that when areas and situations start to come in our lives, because they're going to, if they're not doing it now, they will, where we need help to realize that we have a Holy Spirit, we have an advocate that we can have come and help us. We don't have to do it alone. We were never created to do it alone. And we can have that in our hearts and our lives. And it's such an unbelievable gift and tool that we have. And Pastor Renee did an amazing job of reminding us this morning of that fact. So amazing job. Let's pray. We're going to close our service and just continue to be together and head over to Jason's Deli and all that good stuff. But let's pray right now and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he has come to do in our hearts and our lives. So Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that obviously you came and you died and you rose again. And we thank you that, as you said in your word, you did not leave us as orphans. You left us with a helper, with a helpmate. You left us with an advocate. You left us with someone who convicts us of sin and brings us closer to you and all the things that the Holy Spirit does. And I am so thankful for that, that I don't have to do these things alone, that you're with me and that you empower me to witness and do all the things that your word says, the Holy Spirit, that you do. And Father, I just pray, and maybe just as Pastor Renee was sharing, you know, Holy Spirit, you just kind of spoke to my heart that there may be individuals here this morning or even online that are going through situations and circumstances, and they're just trying to do it on their own. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's they have forgotten that the Holy Spirit is here for them and can help them and minister to them and through them in this situation. I don't know. But what I do know, Father, is I do believe that one of the reasons that you spoke to Pastor Renee to speak on the Holy Spirit was for this particular thing, that there are people that desperately just need to kind of stop to an extent and just look to you as your Holy Spirit to help them to accomplish what you called them to do. Maybe it's to share their faith with someone in their family or a friend. Maybe it's to know that the situation that they're going through that's difficult right now, that the Holy Spirit is there. I don't know. But whatever it is, God, I so thank you for this reminder. And I pray that for myself and every one of us that we will turn to the Holy Spirit and say, you came, you were sent to be my advocate and to help me, and I need that right now. Will you come and do in my life whatever needs to be done in this particular area? And we know, God, that'll come and that'll happen, and we can rest in that. So we're thankful for that. Thank you for this word. Thank you for speaking so clearly to Pastor Renee on what to share to us. And now, Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, we will open our hearts and accept this word and allow it to transform our hearts into the people and to make us into the people that you've called us to be. We love you. We thank you. You're so good. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Again, Pastor Renee, great job. Thank you for being so obedient to what the Lord's asked you to do. You know, I'll be honest. When I found out what you were going to speak on, I kind of was like, okay, I'm trusting you heard the Lord's voice, you know, because it's like you're jumping, you know, into a little harder sometimes of a discussion, but you did a great job, and obviously the Lord spoke to you, and I appreciate your obedience in sharing those words. So remember, guys, we're heading over to Jason's Deli for lunch afterwards. Next week, we're going to be starting a brand new series called Majoring on the Minor. We're going to be talking about the minor prophets together. I'm excited to share that with you. I've had a couple of you even come up and say that you were excited about it, so that's really cool. Looking forward to sharing that with you next week. Hope that you're able to join us for lunch. I love you. Have a great week. For those that are online, thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you're doing well, and we'll see you all soon. Have a good one.